Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Like a lot of universities, Oregon State trying to find its way amid a return to action. A lot of questions. I got a survey last night as a season ticket holder at Oregon State. I got a survey last night sort of about the fan experience at Research Stadium. What kinds of things would encourage me to be at more games? And I'm probably not typical of the normal college football family, but I tried to answer the questions through that lens. I want to bring on Scott Barnes, the Oregon State Athletic Director. He's joining us now. Where are you right now, Scott Barnes?
I am actually in my office right now, John, and I want to thank you for your patronage, by the way, as a season ticket holder.
I feel weird answering the questions because a lot of the times I'm not in the seats. I'm up in the press box.
Right.
And the questions are like, what's fan experience? So I try to answer like on behalf of my wife, who would normally maybe be in the seats. What was the aim there?
You should have her fill it out, John.
I know. What was the objective in sending that out to the season ticket holders?
Well, we did this, John, about 20 months ago or so, ahead of starting the plan for completing Reacher. And so we wanted to refresh that. Obviously, it's been 20 months. Things have changed. So what this survey essentially does for us is it gives our fans to tell us sort of their wants and needs in the stadium, and then it allows us to use that data to help inform our programming and design for the West Side.
A lot of the stuff was sort of about amenities. What about, you know, your suspicion is, I think if the football team is successful, I think a lot of this is window dressing. But you're also in a new world where you're trying to attract fans and hold the attention of fans. You're in competition with living rooms and flat screen TVs. So, you know, how do you balance sort of, hey, if the football is great, people will show up, versus we got to have some family section and we got to make the concessions better and all the bells and whistles that go along with stadiums?
Yeah, John, it's a great question. You know, again, this survey gives us a real understanding of what our fans want. And then throughout this process, we have been pragmatic and very prudent, and we'll continue to do that. So you strike that balance. You hit the nail on the head between that excellent fan experience and doing it in a practical, pragmatic, and responsible way. And we'll find that happy medium as we get down the line with all the data that's coming in.
Every Oregon State fan, you know, is obviously knows there are bigger problems and bigger things facing the world than, you know, whether or not you're going to have cup holders in the new seats or seat backs and all that stuff. But just for the big picture, you know, this project, how insulated is it to what we see going on economically and the sort of the budget constraints and the challenges you have on campus in today's world?
Yeah, John, it's a really important question. One we test daily, and the optics obviously of this now, it just happens that we're in the middle of actually the front end of schematic design and programming. And the one thing that we can continue to think about is the goals of this project coming out of the gate, and that was feasibility and financial sustainability long term. As we think about all the issues we deal with COVID, we've got to continue to think about what moves us ahead and what creates stability in the future. And this was one of those projects, obviously year-round opportunities for our entire campus and the other goals that we had in mind. But it's a tough time, right, because there's so many unknowns. So we'll be very practical and very prudent as we walk through this and to make sure we get it right.
Now, football stadiums have traditionally been made for football teams, but my understanding of this project is that some of this stadium project would be available to the larger campus. Can you speak to that a little bit? And how do you make the football stadium a part of your campus?
Yeah, it's well, first of all, it's on campus, so that's, we've got that going for us. And certainly we're testing things, whether it's healthcare or other areas that reach not only our students but our campus community and beyond that can be used. Look, make an investment as large as this, we want to use it. Not only special areas done in the stadium that are carved out for use on campus, but even some of the premium areas that we can use throughout the year for special events on campus, folks and partners that have that interest or community members that have that interest. So this is designed in every way to utilize it every day of the year.
Scott Barnes with us, Oregon State Athletic Director. The discussion about when football will happen has to have, at this point, be an exhausting thing for you to hear about. You're probably getting that question from your neighbors as you take your trash cans out. But are you optimistic that the Pac-12 will be part of what happens across college football? Or does the Pac-12 have to worry about the Pac-12 and maybe it's on its own schedule? Can you help with that?
Yeah, I think there's two buckets, John. The first bucket is this notion of getting back to business, right? And the getting back to business part of it, the volunteer workouts, as an example, for our student athletes, should be informed by local authorities and each institution. And all of our ADs agree that even, competitive equity aside, if your campus and your community is ready, that's the safest and in the best interest of your student athlete. You don't want to have down at a 24-hour fitness. You want a place where you can control the environment and whatnot. So that's one that is sort of easy to answer, to say, look, let's go at our own pace. Is it healthy and safe? And do it. The other piece is the training camp competition component. And, we play for the College World plays for national championships. We play beyond regional competition. And so it would be the best interest of college athletics that we all start together. That we all decide we need X amount of weeks, let's say 6 weeks, to prepare and ready our student athletes in a healthy and safe way. And then we count back from there and decide, when does that start and when can we all kick off? Now, what are the chances of that all coming together? I don't know, but I am optimistic that we will play a full football season somehow, some way. May it be pushed back. May we have to make adjustments to our conference championship game and bowl games. There will be, without question, adjustments. But I think a lot of us still have hope that we can get a football season in. And if it's not a full football season, it would be the majority of the season.
Scott Barnes with us, Oregon State Athletic Director. Who mediates that? I keep looking to the NCAA, and I don't think that's probably the right answer. Maybe it's conference commissioners, but I'd feel a lot better if there were like a commissioner of, Power 5 commissioner who sort of could mediate, hey, SEC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, and we're all going to get on the same page here. Who mediates that if the SEC wants to play and the Pac-12 is saying, look, we're going to be a little more careful and we want to push back a month? Who mediates that?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. And in a perfect world, you would have a commissioner of all, right, of all things. So the key to this, John, is the continual daily communication among the A5, the commissioners. They are meeting daily, and in doing so, I have great faith that they will come to an agreement on how this all looks ultimately. And what's interesting about this is that our best decisions are made later, because the world, it changes every day. So
yeah.
I'm not concerned about waiting, because I think our best opportunity, the best decisions is a later decision, not to say, hey, this is what September is going to look like today, because we really don't know.
Scott Barnes with us, Oregon State Athletic Director. You've got Ed Ray at Oregon State, who's a big football fan, big sports fan. I think that it's always been reassuring to Oregon State fans that he's been in that position. The incoming president comes with a background that includes LSU. F. King Alexander will become the next president, effective July 1. What's your take on F. King Alexander and sort of what his commitment to athletics will be?
Well, I think fundamentally, John, and in our first conversation, he wanted me to know this. He's a former college student athlete, former basketball player. His mom basically started an athletic program at Florida on the women's side. He's grown up in collegiate athletics, understands it, more importantly, understands the value of a vibrant, successful program at our level. What can do to advance the mission of the university overall? So I feel great about that and about his mindset and philosophy around athletics.
That has to feel good to you. When you know, anytime you get a big boss coming in, you don't know who they're going to hire. They hire somebody who comes from a sports background, who understands sports, who you know will understand the challenges that are in front of you. And that synergy is important, isn't it?
It's incredibly important, now more than ever.
We're talking to Scott Barnes, Oregon State president. Timeline on Reser Stadium, what's the next step?
Well, the timeline to this date hasn't changed. We're in schematic design through the summer, and then by fall we'll be transitioning from schematic programming and schematic design to full design. And again, we'll check in all along the way and continue to make sure we're where we need to be on funding and other things. But so that timing leads, John, to construction during the 22 season. We would be literally playing football in a stadium that was partially demolished, if you will. And we do that all the time in athletics when we're doing stadium projects, and we put the erector sets up and we get it done. And then kicking off in 23, substantially complete, maybe some back of the house non-football function areas that would trail that a little bit into the spring. But that was our initial schedule, and it continues to be our schedule moving forward.
One of the key questions on the survey came down to, you know, would I attend, you know, what would make me attend more football games at Reser Stadium? Now, again, I got to take myself out of sports columnist, because if you win games, I'm there, bottom line. But one of the things that jumped out at me was just sort of kickoff times and games being on TV, and how some of this is out of your control. How much can you guys, moving forward with a new TV deal in 2024 and beyond, emphasize, you know, the balance of revenue that you need versus, hey, it really helps us attract families when we can kick off games earlier in the day?
Yeah, it's the never-ending debate about, you know, and it's in a perfect world, the best windows for the best television revenue would be the same windows that our fans love, right, to come to games with.
Yep.
And you could have both, and that's not the case. And, you know, we find that night games do command more revenue, and there's always that balance between that and the fan base, and they're both really important. So, you know, we survey our fans every year, fans that don't buy tickets one given year as to why they don't. And it's gone down. We've been on the better side of the night game situation. This year would be another example. So it's been less impactful, still impactful. I don't want my fans to think I'm not sensitive. It's really impactful, but we've gotten a little bit of a break on it.
Yeah.
But as we move forward to the next contract, I promise you we'll all be asking to minimize night games the best we can and still strike the best deal we can financially.
Trailblazers president Chris McGowan told, I asked him about fans inside the arena in an NBA game, and he said, we can't live without that revenue stream. We, you know, the TV money's great, but we need bodies. We need ticket holders. That revenue stream is vital to us. If you have to play this college football season in a partially filled stadium, how much does that inhibit you? I'm sure you've run that model. What's the right number that you can live with?
Yeah, you know, any decreased number is incredibly impactful to us. We've run models John, with 50% of the stadium where, you know, could you potentially accommodate, you know, most or all of your season ticket holders, you'd limit your single game sales. So, you know, that 50% number feels like it's a number that if we had to for, let's say, a couple games coming out of the gate, and then manage the social distancing and all the things that we do, you know, in a 45,000-seat stadium, I think we could do that. And so we've modeled that as an example of, you know, where we could go. I wouldn't expect that would be, you know, more maybe just early on. Who knows for sure, but anything less than that, I mean, that right there would be a pretty significant hit in our revenues to go 50%.
The CSU system coming out and saying, look, we're not going to have campus students on campus in the fall, at least at the beginning. How much does that hit your radar, or do you have to stay focused on what the Pac-12 is doing, or are you looking across the country to see what people are saying and doing right now?
Yeah, John, we're all looking around. We're all listening. What's somewhat frustrating is the mixed messages and you know, making decisions today about, you know, what's going to happen 4 months from now. We're finding that the most informed decisions we can make are a little bit later when we know more. So we're paying attention to it, particularly given the footprint of the Pac-12 in California around that particular piece. But we've also seen some you know, good comments from the governor that are more positive than that in the state of California. Again, if we would all just pay attention to our local health authorities and the curve that we talked so much about early on, flattening the curve, I think we would be all much more positive about where this is going.
Now, yesterday's show, we gave advice for college and high school graduates who are all going off into what is now a altered world. What advice do you give? I know you've got kids in your own household. You probably gave them their advice when they graduate high school, but what advice do you give to college or high school graduates?
Continue to move forward with your dream. We'll pay attention to what's happening. But, you know, in terms of going, if we're thinking about those that are planning to go to college, we'll open it because it's safe. And we've put measures in place to do that. So, boy, you know, that should hold up anybody. And as you think about that, it's amazing, the psychology right now, John. And I say this in two ways. One, in our enrollment numbers in terms of applications are really trending very, very strong. Now, we'll have to see how yield is, right, depending on everything. And season tickets are the same way. We're 94% renewal rate. We're in a place we haven't been in 7 years. So, you know, we've got to see this, the other end of this. But it's interesting, isn't it, that with all this going on, what that enrollment number looks like for us application-wise as a university, and then what our season ticket piece looks like given where we sit today.
Scott Barnes, I appreciate you. When you were leaving college, did you say, I want to be an AD someday? Or did this sort of just unfold, you know, as you?
If I was honest with you, I would tell you that I had my I'm going to be a college coach hat on, but in the back of my mind, I always wondered how I could be an AD. There's never a roadmap back then. There wasn't a roadmap, so and it was always on my mind, but I didn't know how to get there. What coming out of college, and then I figured out ultimately. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, me too. I think there's a little bit of Forrest Gump in all of this. All right, Scott Barnes,
no doubt.
I appreciate you. Thanks for making time for us.
Thanks, John. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, there he is, the athletic director at Oregon State, Scott Barnes. They sent out the survey last night. And by the way, I don't think he knew what to do with the question when I asked him about advice for graduates. Judah, did you catch that? Like, I think it disarmed him.
It definitely did.
I think he did. Did you hear him?
Yeah, I admire his his pivot. Man, it's like a low post big man pivoting down there, and he did it admirably. But I was like, man, wait a minute. What's your advice? Season tickets are up.
It was jarring to him. He didn't expect it. He had an idea of what to do with everything else, and then I think he went, hold on, wait a minute. This is a personal question. And so I love that. I love that. I think you learn a little bit about people in a moment like that. So, and he pivoted right away. So there you go. All right. Coming up, we're going to have a very different discussion, unlike anything you've ever heard before on this show, coming up at 1 o'clock. I'll explain more on the other side of this quick break. Our big splash, we do it every day on the show. Today is no different. It is the biggest thing going on in the world of sports. What is it?
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. But
the big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
NFL owners approved some new measures today aimed at improving diversity in the coach and front office hiring process, but they stopped short of approving a resolution that would have rewarded minority hiring with draft pick compensation. Now, the NFL last week was reported that owners were considering a proposal that would improve your third-round pick by 6 or 10 spots if you hire a minority candidate for the GM or the head coach opening.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.